Okay, today we're talking about mistakes on Pesach, which is to say, the very common question that comes up on Pesach. I cooked all my food, and I realized that my ketchup or my whatever it is or something that I was using was not kosher Pesach. They put this wrong food into their Pesach day food. So, we know that there's a lot of chumras about chametz. The most well-known, or the most important one for our purposes, is that chametz is also b'mashu, which means is that if chametz gets mixed into other food on Pesach, even the tiniest amount, it's not batal. No, it doesn't make a difference how it happens. No matter how little chametz it was, there's no bitter. So if somebody puts some Ben fiber into their food, because they want to get some extra fiber, Ben fiber is just plain old chametz, you sprinkle a little into your food on Pesach, then that food is also. It doesn't make a difference how little Ben fiber there was. Usually when there's Isser mixed into food, then it could be batal under all kinds of conditions, but on Pesach, no such thing. You're mixing some Ben fiber, the food is all also. Not only that, an extension of that chametz also b'mashu is that we're not allowed to do Hargolah on Pesach. That has to do with the fact that when we do Hargolah, we draw the bli out of the kli. It goes into the water. That water now seemingly should become treif. The only reason why it doesn't become treif is because the bli is in a binyomer, or it's part of a shishim. Those are variations of the same thing. And therefore, what's going to happen is when the bli comes out into the water, if it would happen before Pesach, it's not a problem. The water is not treif because it's in a binyomer and because it's bottle. But if that would happen on Pesach, the water is considered to be chametzik. The water is chametzik, then you just your pot is now just sitting and cooking with chametzik water, and so that's why you can't do hagol on Pesach. Okay, it's related to the isumash. Okay, those two things are related. So if you
so it's leave in
you are allowed to leave on Pesach. Yeah,
leave in kal.
That's a question of Prim Gadol. Prim Gadol says that if you do leave in kal, then there are those he says. The Leibn Kal draws out the Bliya rather than incinerating the Bliya. So he says, Efsher, that you should follow those kind of rules also. He's not sure what to say about that. Okay. He's not talking about this part of it, but he's talking about a different part. He says, Efsher, that we should have those chumras also.
Okay, it's something
If you consider that to be Leibn Gomer, if you consider it to be Leibn Gomer, then Leibn Gomer incinerates the Bliya, then it's not a problem. Right, not for today's discussion. Okay, so. So but you can't do Hagolah. You can't do Hagolah on Pesach. So that's an extension. So not only did the Ben fiber trafe up your pot of soup, but it also means that you can't kash your pot of soup. Okay? So that means, so at first glance, once you hear that, you say, is if somebody used something on Pesach that they weren't supposed to, then they're finished. They took something that they don't need to touch for Pesach, and they used it in their food, they made whatever they cooked or they made out of it. You should say, if they did on Pesach, they're finished. The whole thing is also no matter what.
Well, can I ask a question going back to Hagolah?
Sure.
Let's say you dump your trefa pie into a huge vat, which has 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be fine?
On Pesach?
Yeah.
No.
Isn't there's a site for mashu, right?
2,000? A site for mashu is not anything that you'll ever come across. Site for mashu...
Like a commercial site?
No, site for mashu needs is that if a guy drops a sandwich in Milwaukee, into Lake Michigan in Milwaukee, we can still drink water in Chicago. Because the chametz that's covered in Milwaukee doesn't bother us that we're drinking that same water in Chicago.
That happened in Chicago, that would be
fine. No, that would be okay in Chicago also. What I'm saying is that we don't have to worry about, we don't have to think about that. You know, somebody... You're not going to get to that point. You're not going to get to that point either. No, you can't do it. Okay, so...
Am I able to avoid the film?
Yeah. Okay, so at first glance, that tells us, since a short recap...
I turned to get the screen, then...
Okay, fine.
So since we have all this chumra Pesach, a chumra that chumras is b'mashu, because of that, we're going to end. It seemingly we would guess is that we will end up with a situation where anything that nitash kach of a Pesach, if they use it by mistake, should make everything trade. Okay, that would be use it on Pesach. They use something that we tell people needs hashkacha. We tell them need special hashkacha for Pesach, and they use that thing on Pesach. Seemingly, that should make it. Everything should be awesome.
He's setting up a straw man.
Oh, okay.
That's correct. That's, I'm going to talk about all these things. So, the question, I said at first, the person's question is, they said, I seriously told me that I need to buy this and this product with hashgacha. By mistake, I used the wrong one on Pesach, and now I'm stuck. I cooked my food today on Chol Hamoed or on Yom Tov. I cooked my food. What's the status of my food? So first they said, oh my gosh, that's chametzik. So let's talk about whether that's really true. Okay? So I want to give you first some numbers, okay? In the Seriously Shopping Guide, okay, if we break it down, I think there are 352 pieces of information on the shopping guide, okay? Okay, you could look at my spreadsheet afterwards to figure out how I came up with that number. Okay, of those 116 of those things that are listed on there don't need hashgacha. So obviously, if it doesn't need hashgacha for Pesach, if you use it on Pesach, then you're okay. I mean, you're allowed to use it without hashgacha for Pesach. Okay, but the rest, about half of the rest, or a little more than half of the rest, need hashgacha. Some of them are not allowed. We say, Marge, you cannot use it. There's an X next to it. And some of them have special things, like it says it depends on the ingredients. If we see over here, it's not so clear what it means, what the information says. Okay, so we're talking about the last group, these last three things over here, which is these things that we tell you you need to have hashgacha on Pesach, and we told you you need to have hashgacha or something like that, or you're not even allowed to use it. What happens if I use it now? What would be the thing of that thing? Okay? So, the first thing is, as was someone just mentioned a second ago, is this chumrah of chametz mikaseh b'mashu only applies when it happens on Pesach. Okay? If something happens before Pesach, okay, we've already gotten plenty of those questions already. Something happened before Pesach, somebody cooked this and this and this in their pot, and they're cooking for Pesach, and they realize they made a mistake. So what's the din? So then we follow the regular sabbatical. Okay, even on erev Pesach, we pass again. Even on erev Pesach, chametz is b'mashu b'shishim. Okay, but the regular rules of bittul apply until Pesach comes. All the regular rules of bittul apply.
Even after the
correct.
This is not close.
Right, except it's a very special case of yomish b'yomish, a very special case where it doesn't apply. But given in almost every single case, we follow the regular rules of bittul all the way up to Pesach. Mind up to the till you go to shul.
The may be a problem before.
No, that makes no difference. Yeah. No. Yavish Yavish is not this. It's an unusual case. It's not so common that we should have a Yavish Yavish case. It's not such a common case. Yeah. But in almost every case, we probably go this way. Now, because of that, that doesn't only mean if the cooking in your house is done before Pesach, but it means it's also in where the chametz was bought before Pesach, before it got to your house. Okay, for example, we tell people that spices, ground spices, need to have hashgacha for Pesach, because we have this concern that the people who grind spices are also grinding breadcrumbs. Okay, so if the person is grinding breadcrumbs, maybe our breadcrumbs mix into my spices. Now, so we say, no one wants breadcrumbs on Pesach, so get spices with hashgacha. Okay, but now, what happens if on Pesach I took some of the garlic out of my pantry that did not have hashgacha for Pesach, and I poured it into my food? So the chametz, the potential that there is some breadcrumbs mixed into there, that happened before Pesach. That I happened to put the garlic in on Pesach. But the chametz was bought before Pesach. Okay, that in almost every case, not every case of spices, but in most cases of spices, that's not a case of yavish b'yavish. We treat it as, which is lach b'lach, b'kemach b'kemach. In most cases, that's what it is. So there, even though I use it on Pesach, even though when my question is I put the garlic in on Pesach, but the chametz that would have been put in today would have been put in before Pesach. The chametz was put in the factory. So the chametz was put in the factory. That bit happened before Pesach. So the garlic that I can, again, I don't want to use that garlic because maybe this bread comes in there. So I want to be more careful for Pesach. That's fine. But as far as what happened to my food is, the bit that happened before Pesach, even though my question came up on Pesach.
What if you buy it on Pesach?
Doesn't make a difference because the bit that happened before Pesach.
It has to be just a
mixture that happened. It can't be like in process, you know. But we never get things, and we never get things except some very, very unusual things that get fresh. We never get stuff that was made on Pesach.
By the time we get a grinder, you know, that doesn't hold spices. That's something else.
If you have a grinder, a grinder in your house.
Yeah.
No, but if you use your grinder, you couldn't ruin it if you ground breadcrumbs and then you bread it, or you may not get a kemach to kemach. All the bits can happen on Pesach, or if you ground it on Pesach, you can have
that before Pesach. Depending
on how finely you grind it, it could either be kemach b'kemach, which would be lach b'lach, that's why I use garlic powder as an example, or if you don't grind it so finely, then it could be bigger pieces.
So that could be a problem.
It depends. The way you usually get it, it's chunkier pieces. So it really doesn't depend on the regular, it depends on the breadcrumbs. Right. What would be the how fine would those breadcrumbs would they be? If you were to spread it on the table, could you pick out, separate one from the other, and get them as individual items? Oregano here and breadcrumbs over here, I don't mean you frisky. There's a zillion pieces to check you, but if they would separate as individual pieces as opposed to kemach, when you pour it on the table, you can't get grain separated from each other. They're just one big.
The other issue is in the same category, basically.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Okay.
So when you say today, we're also with 41 items that are not allowed. Could that include items which hopefully it could have been there has hummus as bottle and it could be allowed?
So when I say not allowed, I think they say there's no way you can eat this food. There's no way you can eat it. When we say need tashkacha, like spices, you can eat spices in Pesach, you need definitely tashkacha in Pesach. When I say not allowed,
I didn't like tashkacha,
because any bread that's in the garlic is I said, we say it needs tashkacha because we think people want to be more careful than saying it needs tashkacha. But I'm saying, it turns out that if you think about it for real, now I already put the garlic into my food, what's the deal with the garlic really? So we told you the ground spices need tashkacha, but what we're finding out is it actually it wasn't as serious as you might have thought it could be. So now that I use it on Pesach, the food is okay. Okay, then I have to think about, you know, so I have to go back and say, well, why did this list say that needs hashgacha in the first place? And that's what we're going to go through. Okay, next. Another one of the simpler ways to make things more through is that even though chametz is also b'mashu, that doesn't apply to kidneys. Okay, kidneys is about the baroid, and it's about the baroid even on Pesach. Okay, so if somebody goes and made a dish for Pesach, and they discovered the world, they figured out, I finally had something new to eat, and they bought string beans, okay? It's happened more than once. People are so excited, they found a new food they could eat on Pesach, they bought string beans. And then they found out, or they realized that string beans were kidneys. Okay? Okay, but people have done that. Okay, they go to the store and they... Green beans, same thing. Green beans. Okay, they found out that they went for whatever reason. It tends to be that they sent the husband to the fruit store, and he came back with so excited that he finally had something that people want to eat, and then they cooked with it. Okay, so what's the thing? They put the string beans and they made a whole dish out with the string beans in it. So the thing is, take the string beans out because that kidneys, you can't eat them, but the rest of the food is mutter because kidneys is about the broil. Okay, and that happens even if it happened on Pesach. Okay, or more common. Is somebody used their vegetable oil from year round. Instead of using the Pesach oil, use the chametz oil. So to speak, the not Pesach oil. Okay, so let's say the worst case scenario, they use soybean oil. Okay, they use corn oil. Okay, so what's it then? They use it, they cooked it in the food, so you can't get the oil out anymore, but it's about the baroid. Okay, so that's, even if they did it on Pesach, the bit, Issa Mashu is only for chametz, no Issa Mashu for kidneys, so that's an easier case. Or a person, we tell people dried fruit and parchment paper, you have shkacha because there's a coating on them. Okay? There's no way that anyone can imagine that coating being chametz. It's kidneys. It could be kidneys. It's hard. You can't dream of how it could possibly be chametz. So if the person used parchment paper, even if they did it on Pesach, and they use it, they cook their food on it, so we say, well, what could be the worst case scenario is that it was kidneys. Okay, that would be about the bride. So it would be mutter.
Let's say use corn syrup.
Let's say corn syrup. I didn't say corn syrup. Okay, corn syrup, well, I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to mention that case, but it's a little more complicated because that has an enzyme in it that has potentials for chametz being in
the syrup. Let's ignore that.
Just the
corn syrup is sweeter, so that's a legal time.
Right. So the thing is, so no, that's not correct. Chametz in corn syrup for sure could be bottled baroid. Bottled baroid means is when some, that means is if it's 40% of the food, it's going to be bottled. 40% of course gives taste. 40% of the food of course gives taste. There is a shaila about things that are specifically aviv l'taima, not corn syrup. No. Sweeteners are not aviv l'taima. Sweeteners are just foods. They're just sweet. So sweeteners are for sure bottled. That means if there's 40% corn syrup and 60% something else, 40% anything you're going to taste in the food. Come on, always you're going to taste it. It's bottled. There's a special shaila about what happens if you use mustard seed, I mean. Something that's aviv l'taima, could that be, but does the rules of bittul baroid apply in that case? Bittul baroid apply in that case also. Okay,
why
special shaila.
Yeah,
what's the color? That's
what is aviv
l'taima? Right, that's a reason to, you're no, time out. You're explaining the reason why you should be mekel, and we spoke about it once before, we can't do it now. Okay, but you could believe me, on the case of the corn syrup, for sure, it's for sure mutter. That's a regular case. It's a baroid, okay?
Maybe the case where it's not meant,
where
it's not, you can't taste it.
40% of the food? What does that mean? If it's 40% of
the
food, how can
you? You can't identify.
Every food has.
How can it be?
It's not a particular type.
Right, but if it's 40%, you can't not notice it. It's not possible.
Created to give sweetness?
No, sweetness are regular food. The sugar is a sweetener. It's not right. A vegetable timer. No, of course it's not a vegetable timer.
Can you rely on the evidence
on
the shit is that the juices of kidneys
are
not a problem?
No, we're way off topic. Okay, okay, let's go back. Let's get back to where we're supposed to be. Okay. Okay, so those are the simpler things. If the bittul happened before Pesach, either you did it before Pesach or somehow happened with your cake, you know, it happened the way it was made, and then we had kidneys. Okay, those are the two simple ways that we don't have to worry about chametz and mashu. Okay. Oh, I forgot to show you something. Okay. That's a fun slide. I'm sorry. I forgot to show you this. Okay. We're going to find out. I meant to show these a few slides here. I meant to show this. Okay, in all the cases that we have, okay, I didn't put numbers on here because my numbers are not exact. So this is rough numbers. Okay, we're going to come up with, we're going to talk about four different reasons why, if you add the food by mistake, this is when foods that need hashgacha for Pesach, if you eat in four different groups, okay, the food will be mutter. Okay, what those are, we'll find out. That's a mystery. Okay, in this group. Okay, in roughly a quarter of the cases, okay, it's going to depend on the ingredients. Because I can't tell you whether if you added something in, you got to look at the ingredients. It could be that the ingredients have chametz or not. So those things are too up in the air. I can't say yes or no without knowing what's specifically the ingredients in your thing. How can I know what's in it until I know if it's specifically chametz? And the first groups were for sure fine. Fine. We're going to talk about why they're for sure fine. Okay, and then only in the very tiniest little group over here, in a very small percentage of the things. Now, we tell you need hashgacha for Pesach, can you say, if that thing got mixed in on Pesach, then the food would be awesome. Okay, it's a very small number. Okay, no, so I meant to show you this. I'm sorry, I didn't show you this before. Okay, anyhow, so that's the total of the way the pie chart looks for how bad things can be. Okay, so let's go on. Okay, so I'm sorry, I forgot to show you these pretty slides. Okay, so why do you look so perplexed? You're surprised. Okay, so now, the next thing is like this. Many of the foods, I don't know which color it is. Okay, many of the foods that we tell people need hashgacha for Pesach, the reason why they need hashgacha for Pesach is because the food was made on kalim that were used for chametz. Okay, we're worried that this thing was made in the same kalim. Okay, so the example I'm going to use is, you buy marinara sauce, and that sauce has no chametz ingredients in it. Okay, it's just tomatoes and spices. Okay, that's all there is in there. Okay, just tomatoes and spices. The problem is that the same kalim that they cook that marinara sauce on, or that they fill the marinara sauces, they also do sauces that have noodles mixed into them. Okay, so. So we're concerned that the same kiln, there's heat involved, the same kiln we use for it. So therefore, don't use this one because yours may be free of ingredients that are chametz. Like there's nothing in there that would be problematic, but you don't know what else was made on those same kiln. Therefore, we tell you get it with hashgacha v'pesach, which of course is what you should do. You get it with hashgacha v'pesach. Okay. So when we think about things that have problems with kiln, the first thing is like this. When things are made commercially, in most cases, that's done in a continuous process, like in our case of marinara sauce. They fill it through the machines. It just keeps on going all day long. They're filling marinara sauce through the machinery to get into the bottles. So when you fill it in, when you fill it continuously, then the bleas that are in those clee, there's only that much blea in the clee. If you measured up all the metals in the clee, imagine it was completely balua with chametz, that all the metal in the clee is bottled in all the amount of marinara sauce that passed through here. I mean, how much, if you pass thousands of gallons through, it's going to be bottled mishishim. That bit will happen before Pesach. The marinara sauce that's in my pantry is sauce that was made before Pesach. The bittel that came out of those, the bleas that came out of those kelim were bottled long before when bittel mishishim still worked, before Pesach had. Okay, so when the issue is kelim, in many, if not most cases, with the machinery that we're worried about is machinery that's used continuously. If it's used in a continuous flow, the product just flows through. Then it was bottled because again, there's only this much metal. There's a lot of metal, but there's a huge amount of food, and so it's going to be bottled.
Well,
okay.
It depends if it's from the first bottle.
I'm coming to that in a second. So I was talking about when it's in a continuous. When it's a continuous. No, Tashmish Bishap is, can I do it with Chachila? I'm talking about this, when we look at it, when we have 1,000 gallons poured through a Kli, we don't say the first gallon has blea, the last gallon does not have blea. See, all the blea is bottled in all of that 1,000 gallons. Okay, so if there's enough blea to make 200 gallons trained, then there's not enough, then it's bottled with Shishim. Okay, the blea is bottled. Now, two reasons why we're more comfortable with that than we might be year-round. Even year-round, that's pretty comfortable. But
you say that even if the 1,000 gallons are not in the machine at the same time?
Yes.
Why?
Not for today. Okay, so now, the next thing is like this. The rule is, there's no din of chaticha nasas nevela for chametz before Pesach. Okay, why is that? The Prima Gaon says this. He says, the real issue of chanan is by basar b'chol. The rise of chanan is by basar b'chol. So he says the only things that have chanan are things that are done with basar b'chol. Now we paskin that chametz is isura before Pesach, even today, chametz is considered yisur l'inyan, whatever it has to do with hakolos kelim, has special din why it's negated. He says, but even though we say chametz is yisur bala, chametz is considered yisur even before Pesach, he says, but l'maisa, I can eat chametz today. Today, I'm allowed to eat a cookie. If today I can eat chametz, it's not done with the basa b'cholov. The basa b'cholov is not usher today, is not allowed to be eaten today. So it is isura in technicalities. It's isura within the hagolos kelim. But is it usher to eat it? No, it's not usher to eat it. If it's not usher to eat, it's not doing the basa b'cholov, so there's no din of chanan for chametz before Pesach. Chametz before Pesach. Okay, so what does that mean? If there's no chanan for chametz before Pesach, that means like this. In this pot, okay, imagine this is a big pot in a company, okay, in a really big pot. Okay, in this pot, we cooked tomato sauce that had pasta mixed into it, okay, and in that sauce that they cooked up, it was 10% pasta was in there. That means is, the pot is not 100% chametz stick. We don't say chanan, so the pot is only 10% chametz stick, which means is, that if I want to be mevatel the blias in that pot into the later food that I make into there, it only has to be mevatel 6 times. Okay, I don't have to be mevatel it against all the blias in the pot. I only have to be mevatel the chametz that's in the pot. If there would be chanan, I would say I have to be mevatel the whole all the blias in the pot because the pot is completely blue with chametz. But since I know that the recipe in this, I made in my made up case here, the recipe was only 10% chametz, so the blias in the pot is only 10% chametz. So all I have to be mevatel before Pesach. Was the 10% I need 6 times? That means that I on Pesach who poured that marinara sauce into my food, I'm taking food that the bittul happened. First, I told you the bittul would happen because the kalim have more than enough to be mevatel b'shishim. But I'm saying it's even more stronger than that because since there's no chaman, the only problem would be is if I did something in here that was pure chametz. Once I use something that's only partially chametz, which is most foods are not pure chametz. Foods only partially chametz, the bittul is even easier to make that bittul again. What we're taking advantage of is the fact that the bittul happened before Pesach. The commercially prepared food that I buy, I'm not talking about I took food out of my freezer by mistake. I'm talking, not that I made it, that I made it on Pesach. The shaila happened before Pesach.
Well, unless the company cooked the pasta by itself.
Right, okay, so we'll come to it. If they cook pasta, no. What I mean is, if they cook pasta by itself, I have to have cooked something that I want to use on Pesach in that same kli. If they cook the pasta by itself, the pasta is chametz. But I'm not eating pasta. I'm eating something that was made on that kelim.
Yeah, so that kelim was 100%.
Right. So the next case is what happens if they made something that was pure chametz? Okay. So the example that what he wants to say is I haven't worked out all the details on this, so we're gonna a little bit pretend. But the case is we tell people that frozen vegetables need hashgacha for Pesach because we're concerned that they're blanched on the same kelim as pasta. Okay. Blanch means is a small cooking process done to release gases and make vegetables that they last better in the freezer. Okay, so they take vegetables, they dunk them into boiling water for a couple of minutes, and then they send them on their way. Okay, so the question is the thought is maybe that same machine that's used to cook the vegetables was also to blanch the vegetables was also used to cook pasta in it beforehand. Now, if you cook pasta in it beforehand, it would be 100% clear of chametz. That was the case you wanted to say.
Except there's water.
So, okay, we're going to ignore the water. I don't think we should ignore the water. Okay, so now, in that case, we have to remember that there's also, this is what you were hinting at beforehand, which is the rule of this called the parash. Like, see, here's a blancher, okay? And we blanch pasta in this machine, okay? So, let's pretend, okay, we're making up a number, okay? That there's 20 cubic inches of metal in that blancher. Okay, so how much blia? We have 20 inches worth of blia that we have to be mevatel of chametz. Okay, and in every batch of vegetables that we're going to, of potatoes that we're going to cook in here afterwards, we're making up that this 800 cubic inches. Okay, so it's not bottle. It's only 40 times. It's not bottle. Okay, now what I said to you at the beginning was, in most cases it is bottle. But let's say in this case it was not bottle. It was only 40 times. Okay, but that means is. There's only enough blias around in that kli. There's only enough blias to make 1.5 batches of potatoes, treif, chametz stick. Because there's only 20 cubic inches worth of blias. There's only that much metal. So it's enough to be able to, in 1.5 times, to give time to 1.5 of them. But that means is, that once, if they make 3 batches of potatoes, okay, if they make 3 batches of potatoes, or 3 batches and one more potato, then I have a potato in front of me. My potato is called parish. Okay, my potato, there are treif potatoes. There are chametzik potatoes out there. There are not chametzik potatoes out there. Which one do I have? Okay, I have the potato that's called the parish. So this all, again, this will all happen before Pesach. I have my potato that's in front of me. It's called the parish. So the potato that I have, Again, we have pitul. Okay, different variation of pitul.
If you have chicken pot, you cook chicken soup in there three times. Mm-hmm. There's only enough meat for one and a half. So the third, it's not...
So two things. First of all, it's Hanan. In regular English, there's no Hanan. Okay. Which has Hanan. Yes, but that, if not, if there would be no problems of Hanan. So then, if I cook three times in it, so now, I don't know which one.
They're all Aser.
No, I don't, no. I don't know which one has Aser in it. So I can't eat any of them, because any of them might be the one that has the bleed that's Aser in it. Okay. But when I cook enough times in it, and now when I pour and I say, maybe this is the bleed, maybe this one that had the bleed, maybe it's not. And I have called the parish. And I say, it's the one that I'm holding in my hand, maybe it's the one that came from the tray front or the not kosher. I don't know which one is which. Let's say I did five times. One is tray and four are kosher. I don't know which one is which. So, if you may have shayla of kavuah, where did the shayla come up with? But for me, the person who gets it from a called the parish version of it, I'm in the store and I buy it, I say, did I get the kosher one or the tray one? I get the kosher one. I say, call the parish. There's one tray one out there, there are four kosher ones out there. Which one did I get? I got the kosher one.
What are you doing here with the
Yavish
part of it? The
Yavish Biyavish?
Call the parish, it's like it's Bottle Baroi, but it's Yavish Biyavish.
That doesn't work for this kind of a case. Okay? The reason why it doesn't work is because you only say Yavish Biyavish when they're literally mixed together, because it doesn't work because of, I know the Rama makes it sound like it works because of Chayzavinir. It's not a formal Chayzavinir. What it is I still have the Taruvus in front of me. So when the Taruvus is in front of me, I say the Isser is in there, and the Hector is next to it, and it's not Bapal on Pesach. On Pesach is not going to be Bapal. That's when I have the Taruvus in front of me. When I'm in a situation of called the parish, then I'm okay. I don't have the Taruvus in front of me. I'm in a called the parish situation. I'm okay.
If you know what's happening in the Kibbutz being Mavapal, isn't like Mavapal Isser Kibbutz? Like you keep on cooking. Well,
I'm not saying you should do this. I'm saying I'm at home. Our situation is I use something that I was supposed to have a shochet on the Pesach, and I use it. Right? I use it. I'm not sure that you should. I'm not recommending you do this to give a shochet on this. We do this on purpose. I'm talking about it that happened. Okay. Now, last thing we need to talk about. I hope maybe we'll have time for one other. But last thing to talk about is like this. All the things we talked about here so far were things where the thing itself wasn't the question of chametz. Okay, everything I've told you so far, the thing itself wasn't a question of chametz. It was questioned things were mixed into it. We have questions that it was made on kelim that were chametz thick and things like that. Okay, what happens if we have something where the thing itself might be chametz? Okay, an example we're going to use is we have vinegar. Okay, you can make vinegar from corn, you can make it from wheat. The thing itself is the thing that might be chametz. It's not that something like was mixed into it or kelim. The thing itself might be chametz. So, like this. Let's look at a machaber. Okay, simin tav samach zayin. It's a long simon. Parts of it are Krakow, Pesach guy. Okay? All kinds of this you can eat for Pesach, you can eat for Pesach, there's Nitzach Shlach of a Pesach, all kinds of things like that. Okay? Your local Krakow, Pesach guy. Because Rama. A lot of things are in the Rama. Okay? The Mechaber has things also in there, but they're Pesach guy. So it's also lots of complicated dinim here. Here's what the Mechaber says. Okay. What happened is like this. You had, this was for them, a very serious shiloh. This used to happen. We don't deal with grains in our houses. But they had a food was cooked, and after they cooked the food, they realized that there was grains sitting inside the food. Okay, so the shiloh was whether those grains are chametz or they're not chametz. Okay, so the thing is like this. So he said, if you find in it, if they're in this baku, okay, the grains are cracked in a way that makes it obvious that these things are chametz, then the food is also why? Chametz is also b'mashu. So this grain is in there. It's sitting and cooking with your soup. And there's this grain in there. So it doesn't help take the grain out because it was already gave time into the food. Either just one or two, a little grain, one grain of barley or wheat in there. Doesn't make a difference. Chametz is also b'mashu. The food is also. It's good on Pesach. Yeah, the person cooked kasher is b'mashu. You cook the food. You of course on Pesach. Of course on Pesach. Yeah, it means on Pesach. I'm sorry. Of course it means on Pesach. Tafsir HaMazayim is well into Pesach. So you... No, really. It's talking about food. You made it on Pesach. So you made the food on Pesach, and you found, and there's a grain sitting in your food. So you finished. Okay, so you can't eat the food. Okay, now. Right. Then why is Baku? Now, then why is Baku, the Mechaber, if you just read the Shulchan Aruch, you would not know all the details. And why is Baku, mamish, means is when cases like this. There's a Mechaber in the Gemara about a certain level of cracked. Okay, it's not important for us to know what it is. It's a certain level. It's not clear whether it is or is not cracked. Okay, the machlokes in the Gemara whether that thing is chametz or is not chametz. Okay, that's the machlokes in the Gemara. So the Mechaber says at the end, and it really was a few halachas before, and also that oisim chitas are in serving or something. it's a machlokes in the Gemara, so the Rif says, since it's a machlokes in the Gemara, we don't know what the din is about this kind of level of being cracked, okay? We don't know about this funny level in the middle here, so the Rif says this, safot raisa l'chumra. You can't eat it. Okay, you can't eat the grains because there's machlokes in the Gemara. We don't know what happened. Well, some we try to paskin a certain way, but the Rif says, I don't know which way to paskin. Safot raisa l'chumra, you can't eat the grains. He says, but what about if that grain is in your food? So you have to burn, you have to get rid of the grains. Okay, that's fine. He says, but the grain in the food, of course, is bata b'shishim. You know, one or two grains in a pot of soup, of course, it's going to be bata b'shishim. He says, well, chametz asa b'mashu is only a drabanan. Since chametz asa b'mashu is only a drabanan, there I see several drabanan l'kula. So that's what, v'im loinis baku mamish, the riff, and this is what the Mechaber is passing, v'im loinis baku mamish, if it's not mamish, that means that's the case of the Gemara. He's referring to a case in the Gemara that there's a machlokes about that case. For us, it's not important what it is. It's a case where it's a sofek in the Gemara, or it's a machlokes in the Gemara, hatavshu mutter. The tavshu is mutter because is sofek drabon l'kula. That's only the shayla of mash is only the shayla of drabon. Sofek drabon l'kula, and you can eat the tavshu. So take out the grains and get rid of them, because they're sofek derais and l'chumra, you have to get rid of those, but the food, you can eat the food, that's okay. Okay? So, what did we hear before I fill you in that missing middle line over there, okay, you probably noticed there's a missing line over there, is what is that the Rif says, the Mechaber is paskining, that if we have a shaila of a mashu on Pesach, we have a sofek mashu on Pesach, the din is that's mutter. I have a thing, I don't know whether the thing is chametz or it's not chametz, right? It's a machlokes in the Gemara, I don't know if it's chametz or not. The Rif says is, and now it fell into a food in a way that would be asur b'mashu, the din is, sofek mashu is mutter. Okay, which would say to us, what would that say to us? That means is if I took this vinegar and I use it in my food, in a way that it would be only asur b'mashu, and I use a small amount of it in my food that it could potentially be batel, then I could say is, safek mashu would be mutter. Okay, that's what I would say so far. Now, Jeff.
Well, even if it's a safek which you could find out.
So the Ramah says, Haggah, the inaminikain. No. The Mechaber said it's mutter inaminikain, not true. El oyesun hakol b'mashu, afil lo nispaku. Even if it's this kind of a case where it's loinis baku mamish, the Ramah says the meaning is that it's usher. Okay, so why did the Ramah say that it's usher? Is the Ramah saying it's usher because, okay, so you tell me, the simple thing you would say, especially the way I introduced it to you, is that you'd say is that the Ramah saying is, Safek Mashu is going to be usher. Okay, that would be the simple reading. And in fact, if you look at the Nisei Yosef, this is the Ramah is passing like this sheet, because of Mordechai. Okay, he wants to say it's also because it's davar sheyesh lo matirin. That is to say, is we should over here. There are rishonim who hold that all of chametz is a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Okay, well, I told you before that chametz even on erev Pesach is bottle all the way up to Pesach. That's because we pass the chametz is not davar sheyesh lo matirin. Some rishonim hold that chametz is a davar sheyesh lo matirin and it's not bottle in the afternoon of Pesach on erev Pesach in the afternoon. So he's saying is we would be mitzar of those who hold that maybe here's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Okay, we don't have time, but there's the reason why he might be mitzar of it has to do with Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Okay, we'll leave that for now. So maybe you should consider this a davar sheyesh lo matirin. But then kasa b'sefer hamitzvos yesh lahachmir. Okay, there somebody else. It's a question who this sefer hamitzvos is. That's on the bottom of my Torah. They're not too sure what that means. Somebody says the yesh lahachmir. Well, I'm in the gani oisim misafik. So I'm going to be cautious and say you should be machmer for this shita. So the ikra din is probably mutter, but I want to be machmer. Okay, so when the Ramah said, what did the Ramah say? The Ramah said, "V'ein haminig el oisur hakol b'mashu." So if you're reading the Beis, if you tell me that the reason is because, in this case, we don't treat it, even though it's a safek mashu, since there's a tzad also that a chomet should be davar sheyesh lo matirin, therefore we're going to be machmer and say it can't be bachmer.
Are there other cases in
Shulchan Aruch? Yes, sometimes we mitzaref it. Sometimes the tzad to not say, it's a good question. Why isn't davar sheyesh lo matirin? Like, you have to face that. The reason to say not like that, that's a rekvigur from before. Sometimes we include that. Sometimes it makes sense. Sometimes it's just a tziruf. So he didn't say that's because I'm being mitzaref that. He said, sheyesh lo matirin. We don't pass in chomet sheyesh lo matirin. The Mordechai himself, it's two before and two afterwards, is the one who says we don't say chametz is davar sheyesh lo matirin. It's right in that same, it's on the same page in the Mordechai. But he means to say we're being mitzara, those who hold that sheyesh lo matirin, to say this. It's not, the Mordechai doesn't hold chametz sheyesh lo matirin. It's two before or after that the Mordechai says himself. He's the one who says chametz is not davar sheyesh lo matirin. Okay. It's a good question. See, why wouldn't he say
it is,
that's where it's coming from. That's the only person to say that. See, he should have said you could be making the muckle. Okay, that's a fair question. I don't know. Now, but the truth is, if you look, the Bach and the Prichadash and the Prigodin all say, No, it's not because we should be machmer b'chametz about mashahu. It's not because Davish should be. No, that's not pshat. The reason why there must be machmer is because there must be machmer is because like this. The Gemara has a shaila about this grain that's cracked a certain amount. So the Ramah says, you know, if we look at the grain and we say we're not sure if it's the kind that's cracked that's chametzik or it's not chametzik. He says, do you know why? Because we don't even know if we're in the shadow of the Gemara. It might be so cracked that everyone in the Gemara would have said that this is us. Maybe we're so, have such a lack of bekiyas. We so don't understand what makes them look chametzik that we might be looking at the thing that the Chachmei Gemara would have said, for sure it's us. So we don't even know if we're even in the shaila in the first place. We're in a situation where it could be that it was completely nisbaku. Remember the beginning of the Machaber said if it was nisbaku, it's usher, because that's for sure chametz. Well, maybe that's what it is. Maybe we're just totally missing the boat. We think it's a shaila of nisbaku. It's not a shaila. It's partial that it's usher. And therefore, the reason why we're being machmir is not because the etzem, if it would be sofik davishesha matirin, I'm sorry, if it would be sofik mashu, we'd be nekel, but it might not even be a sofik. Okay, the way the Prima Gaon explains it is, he says we could treat this not as a sophic. He says we treat this as a sophic chesar midia. It's a sophic that we don't even realize that we don't know that this might be nisbaku. And if it's sophic chesar midia, it doesn't count as a sophic altogether. So it's not sophic mashu. It's just you just don't know what we're talking about. So you can't say everything is a sophic and it could be mutter. Okay, now where did that come from? All the Achronim say that that's a pshat in what the Ramah says, even though if you look down over here, and the reason is because, if you look at the Mordechai, this is what the Mordechai really says. Okay? Look what the Mordechai really says. V'yesh rech l'hachmer mishun v'yesh l'matirin, he says that part, v'rayim yisofik mukhan d'osim d'rabbon v'asir perkein tzodin, which is, there's a tzad to say that even by a d'rabbonan, which is over here, we're talking about a mashu, even by d'rabbonan, you should say David Shesha Matirin. Okay, he brings a raya to that. So the Beis Yosef skipped that part. V'chein kasab sefer mitzvahs. Okay, so he didn't bother bringing the raya. Kivan de'ein anu b'kiyim ma nikrin roi l'hispakeh. Okay, we don't even know ourselves what's considered partially opened up in a way that should be for sure usher. So what everyone else is saying the Ramah holds, which again didn't say it in the Beis Yosef that way, is because the Mordechai, they don't bring the Mordechai, but they all say that's the reason, which surprised me. So I went to look at the Mordechai, because the Mordechai actually says that the reason is because it's a lack of bekiyas on our part to know that maybe this thing is completely nisbakeh.
Are there words after the Eishla Hachmer and the Kivan?
Again?
Are there missing words?
On which side? The Mordechai side or the Beis Yosef?
Kivan,
the Ein, because we're not Baki.
Maybe they're referring to the first Shita. We don't know Pshat of the Yesha Reitza. Maybe that Kivan is only Pshat in the Sefer Mitzvahs.
Yeah, I don't care who Pshat in, whatever.
No, so they're quoting the first Shita, the Yesha.
Who's they is quoting?
They
say the Pshat is good, Ein on the Bikim. They say the Pshat Narmaz, Ein on the Bikim. Okay, the Beis Yosef didn't say that line. That Kiyan Ein on the Bikim is not in the Beis Yosef. Okay?
That one line, I'm just asking, does it say, Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Yeshla HaKhmer
Kiyan? Yes. Yeah, I just broke it up like this. You should see the contrast of what's going on. It's one paragraph, but to show you the contrast of what's going on, I broke it up like this. So you can just see that what the Beis Yosef is coming from and which words he skipped. For whatever reason. The Beis Yosef maybe skipped it because he wasn't passing like that anyhow. Okay? But the Ramah, I wouldn't have said this, but all the Achronim say that that's what Pshat and Ramah is, that the Ramah b'etzem agrees to this idea that Safik Davi Shesha Matirin, Safik Mashu would be Mutter, but here it has to do with a rule about something that's Safik Chisar Nidia. Okay? Now, we're over time, so I'm skipping a little bit. Now, it happens to be, if that would be true, even if you say the reason is because of suffix chesar nidia, then I would say is, then you would think that I should say is, well, I have this vinegar that I poured into my food on Pesach, okay? I don't know if it's chametz or it's not chametz, so I would say is, it's a suffix chesar nidia. I would say then, why don't you go back, somebody knows whether this vinegar is chametz or kidney is. Somebody knows, if you go back to the manufacturer, there's somebody there who knows that, so maybe maybe we should say this is also suffering chesaron yediyah, in which case the Rambam says when it's a suffering chesaron yediyah, the person is not allowed to say it's just a suffering iser mashu. If it's suffering iser mashu, then if the Rambam says, in that case, don't say suffering mashu is mutter, because it's suffering chesaron yediyah. So, the reason why I don't think it's correct, I'm not 100%, but the reason why I don't think that's correct, that in logic that's correct, but I don't think it's correct over here, is because like this. Over here, when the vinegar fell into the food on Pesach, well, let's go back. Before the vinegar fell into the food on Pesach, okay? On Erev Pesach, I went to the rabbi and I said, Rabbi, am I allowed to own this vinegar on Pesach? What was the answer to the shayla? Is this vinegar chametz thing, or is it kidneys? What is the din about that vinegar that I want to eat, that I want to keep it on Pesach? I don't talk about eating it yet. What, I want to keep that vinegar on Pesach. The answer is, the answer to that shayla was what we said before. The answer is called the parsh. Okay? We don't know which one it is. We don't know what it is. And on that, we're going to say also called the parsh. We're going to say is, in the United States, lucky for us, in the United States, most of these things are kidneys. Most of these things are made from kidneys. I have no way of knowing if I was Ephraim Ruri Bakal, maybe I should be Mavirat, maybe I could call Bashgacha, maybe I'll know the answer. But unless it's the case of Ephraim Ruri Bakal, I'm going to say call the parish, that my vinegar is not chametzik. I'm going to have decided already, so to speak, that my vinegar is not chametzik. I'm allowed to keep that vinegar in Pesach. So, when that vinegar gets mixed in, it's not, oh no, we have a Suffolk concerned idea, and now it's a Suffolk, it's not considered a Suffolk mashu. And it's not a Suffolk at all. I know the answer to my case. Okay? And even more so in the case of spices I told you beforehand, which was that the spices that the navy bread comes in there it's better. Because in that case, there isn't even a Suffolk concerned idea at all. Okay? There's nobody who knows, now it's a machlokes nachronim, whether a Suffolk, for everybody, is considered a Suffolk concerned idea. There's nobody who has any idea whether the breadcrumbs mixed into my spices or not. Okay? It's not the vinegar. The vinegar, at least somebody knows. There's a factory full of people who know whether it's chametz or kidneys. There's lots of people who know that. In the spices, there isn't anybody who has a clue whether there's spices in there. That's easier to say that's a Suffolk mashu. But even in the case of the vinegar, unless it's Efshel Ruru Bakal, then the person is holding by Suffolk Chesaron Yediyah. Okay, let's